Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. This is the Dan and Dave Show with, this is sort of the Dan and Dave Show with, how can I say it? What's the word I'm looking for? With complications or with extraordinary events. Anyway, good morning, Dan. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm curious. You got my attention. What are the complications? I thought I was doing fine this morning. I got up and rubbed my eyes real hard, took my shower, and, you know, I got out of bed, so that was fine.
Well, we're all glad to know that you took a shower. No, it's sort of like what I was talking to a second ago before we went on the air, is that it's the domino effect, and people, you know, I think we forget about the domino effect, but it's like everybody was watching television at some point or the other, or watching or listening, and, oh, my gosh, the Northeast is getting hit, and there have been, I think the last I heard was 7,000 flights had been canceled in the New York, LaGuardia, New York, JFK, whatever, you know, so you think, oh, well, you know, if I was going to D.C. or to New York or whatever, who cares? It's not my job. I'm not flying up there. I'm not nuts. But our next show, we have one of the guests that was going to be on the show is stuck in San Diego. He can't get back to D.C.
Yeah.
And, you know, the snow didn't just affect the East Coast, it affected the world, really. When you're there was a couple, I was watching the news, and there was a couple on from England, and you know, they had planned, they were at the end of their week of being in the States, and they couldn't get out to go back to England. So it's really a worldwide domino effect. And the reason I bring this up too is that I don't know what they were touting the fact recently that gas prices are near $1 a gallon, the lowest in years and years and years, and yet not $1 a gallon, under $2 a gallon. And yet you never hear the other side of the story. Yes, gas prices are down. The producer is getting much, much less for a barrel of oil than they were even 6 months ago, and everybody's jumping up and down with joy that the producer of oil is only getting, in many cases now, less than $30 a barrel. But nobody ever talks about, in less than a 2 months' time now, millions of people have lost their jobs. Literally millions in the oil industry. And that's everything from wells being shut down to the advertising agencies. You know, you can name many facets of business that are being directly affected by what Saudi Arabia basically is doing to the oil industry.
And your thesis is that that's an example of the domino effect.
Certainly.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm in.
You'll buy that, huh?
It's kind of like the butterfly effect, only, with dominoes, not butterflies.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I was at a loss when you said the butterfly,
yeah,
but I don't know what that is.
Yeah, me too, but that's the only other effect that I know is the butterfly effect.
Something coming out of the cocoon or something? Is that what you're talking about? Or the ugly worm turning into a beautiful butterfly?
Yeah, and then we can play dominoes.
And then
I don't know. Have you ever seen a domino or a butterfly playing dominoes?
No, I haven't.
Well, I like where you're going with this. Do you have any other examples of the domino effect?
Well, I think it probably affects everyone. And another good example is Obamacare. The people that didn't have insurance, many cases still don't have insurance. But what did Obamacare really do? Well, it's put a number of doctors out of business. or they have decided to get out of being doctors and taking care of us at a fair price because they can't afford to be in the industry any longer. So, you know, you really don't. It's the cause and effect. There are always cases that you think you may be saving the world, but in fact, you may be saving half the world and hurting the other half of the world. So I think it. We have, and a lot of times, unfortunately, people, industry, it's sort of like listening to a pharmaceutical ad on television. The first 18 seconds is about how great this product is, and it'll make you run faster and jump higher. Then the next 5 or 6 seconds is telling you that it may kill you. And then the last 3 or 4 seconds is saying, well, go buy it, Dan. You're a fool if you don't. And you're sitting there waiting, you know, wait a second. You just said that if I take it, it might make my hair fall out. So there's always a cause and effect. And sometimes...
Yeah, let me add my perspective to the domino effect. It's been shown that if you topple a domino into another domino, that the first domino toppled has enough energy to knock down the second domino, which is 1.5 times as big as the first domino. So a smaller domino knocks over a bigger domino. And within about 18 dominoes, if you could line this up, you could actually topple the Empire State Building. You go one domino, 1.5 times as big, 1.5 times as big as that one, on and on. So a small action can actually have enormous results. Interesting.
It is.
It's interesting.
I always found them fascinating, and I don't even know if they used to have tournaments of setting up, you know, 10 jillion dominoes and hitting one and watching it go through and how fast it could knock over and turn on a light switch and blow up and do this and do that. I loved watching that stuff.
Yeah, make a picture of the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, my parents used to play dominoes, and they had a wooden case with a sliding wood top on it dominoes inside. And I used to love taking those dominoes out and doing what you're talking about, lining them up and pushing them down. I was never much into playing dominoes. I just liked to play with dominoes.
Well, that figures. Speaking of playing with stuff, I saw today, did you ever have a Rubik's Cube? Back when they were popular?
I threw that damn thing away. They're from the devil, I'm convinced.
From the time it came out of the package, it never came back to where it was supposed to. I never could do it. But today I saw on TV they have a machine now or a computer that can solve the Rubik's Cube or whatever you say. I guess solves is as good as any word. In 1 second. And they showed it doing it. No matter how much you messed it up, it can put it back white, yellow, green, red, whatever the colors are and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In 1 second.
Well, that's just a wow, isn't it?
Yeah. Son of a gun.
That's amazing. Son of a gun. Yeah.
Now, I don't know how important that is to be able to, for a computer to be able to solve it in 1 second. I'm sure there must be some kind of cause and effect that, you know, I don't even know what that beats the other computer that could do it in 4 seconds. So,
there's a Chinese fellow that can solve a Rubik's Cube in about 10 or 12 seconds or something like that. Not sure, but he's amazing. I think he can do it blindfolded with one in each hand while standing on his head and whistling Dixie.
I didn't know they knew Dixie.
He's an amazing guy.
They know Dixie in China?
Say that again?
They know Dixie in China. Didn't you say it was Chinese or something?
Yeah, well, it's Chinese Dixie, yeah.
Oh, Chinese Dixie.
Hum Pong. Yeah.
That's bad. That's bad. That's real bad.
That's a good point. Maybe they don't know Dixie. And maybe he's not authentic Chinese.
But he eats it. But he eats at a Chinese restaurant in Queens.
He did. Yeah, he did that once, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk more about the snowstorm. That's kind of how you opened. Kind of a fun event. I kept wishing for snow here. I saw a time lapse photography of a back porch that was getting snow. And it was amazing. It was a 24-hour time lapse, and the camera looked like it was probably about 3 feet above the decking of the patio porch. And within 24 hours, the camera lens was covered with snow, and it just showed it, you know, the buildup. It's a lot of snow. That was over 3 foot of snow wherever this film was taken.
Well, our next host, Kurt Sumner, lives in Virginia. And he's called in a couple of times. They had 30 inches of snow at his residence, and we've had snow here, and I must say one of the most strenuous things that I've ever done in my life was shoveling snow. I mean, that it's a killer. And I was a young man the last time I did it, and in good shape, and it was still. It will take your breath away from you very rapidly. So, anyway, Kurt's our age, and he went out last week and bought himself a snowblower. And I was saying, well, Kurt, you know, just looking at him, that's got to sort of be fun. And he said, oh, yeah, that's the man's machine. And it is fun to go on your sidewalk and blow the snow off, so... but I can't imagine if we had 30 inches of snow in Atlanta, Georgia. In fact, if we get any more than a dusting, the city goes bananas. And when we've had 8 or 10 inches of snow here on occasions, you know, it shuts down the town. I mean, it's just, and we don't have the equipment to handle it. The city that I live in, their equipment for handling a big snow or ice storm is a guy in the back of a pickup with a shovel throwing some kind of mixture on the road. We're not even sure what the mixture is. But we virtually, that's our city reacting to a snowstorm or ice on the road.
Well, didn't you get a little bit of snow over the weekend?
Very little. Very, very little. We had... I would say back from where you and I are from, it would have been called a dusting.
Yeah.
Just I mean, very little. In fact, when was it? Saturday was supposed to be bad, which it wasn't, but Saturday morning we probably had more snow flurries than we had Friday night and early Saturday morning, so... And it was all over with the shouting rather quickly. I tell you what, it is that time already. We've talked ourselves into the first break, so we'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Since the first squabble between Cain and Abel, two biblical brothers, there's been tension which leads to fighting. It's a cruel contest of the wills, usually produced by pride. But most fighting brings only further frustration. The first known gladiatorial contest took place in Rome in 264 BC, featuring three pairs of armed fighters. The last historical clash was supposedly when Constantine abolished the gladiator shows in AD 325. However, fighting among families, nations, employers, and persons has never ceased. The Bible tells us to bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do we do this? No. Must we do this? Yes. Our lack of love and our fear of failure leads us to fight for our rights. But the truth is that we have to surrender our rights to Christ, who gave his life to replace our strife. This is John Bryan bringing you today's keyword.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And speaking of snow, we got to give Charlotte, North Carolina, credit for cleaning up their stadium and being ready to go for the playoff game between. I guess it was a playoff game. It looked like a one-sided. Match sort of between the Panthers and Arizona, the Cardinals, and you got to give credit where credit's due, in my opinion. The Panthers have one heck of a team. Their quarterback, Cam Newton, who graduated from Auburn, is one heck of a quarterback. I mean, he is just very good, and I love the way he calls signals. Have you listened to that, Dan?
I think I could hear him calling signals, kind of a slow...
Yeah.
How would you describe it? It was different.
Well, instead, you know, a lot of quarterbacks come up to the line or in the shotgun, and they sort of bark out their... But like you said, he is very... I don't even know what he says part of the time, but whatever it is, it's very slow and... He usually does two of them, and then what, you know, and it's very interesting. I like the way he does it, and the guy is he's just good. He is just really good,
and he's very good. Yeah,
I think
big hands.
Oh yeah, and he's done. You know, I guess I gained some respect for him. In what they were saying last night, which, you know, they probably meant for it that way, but he has fun playing a game, and it is a game. It's not, you know, it's obviously his profession and all this, but the underlying thing was that it's really still a game, and he has fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You and I don't know how much football you played, but, you know, from the time I was... running, I guess. I played football, and it was neighborhood football, and then it became junior high school football, and that was about the extent of it. I realized that I was not going to get a whole lot bigger and might get a whole lot smaller if I kept playing, but, you know, it was...
Well, did you play flag?
Oh, yeah. In elementary school, and then in junior high school, it was... It was contact. It was football. It was football. And, you know, things changed, but it was always fun. Yeah, you enjoyed it. And we everyone was still concerned about injuries, but we didn't have all the protection that they have today. And even with that, you still have injuries. I never found out what happened to the defensive player for the Panthers last night that somehow hurt his arm. I never found out never heard what happened to his arm, but I don't think he's going to be around for the Super Bowl. But anyway, they were both good games. Denver they barely pulled it out. The Broncos and... I think the Broncos are, well, I wouldn't bet on them for the Super Bowl, personally.
Well, you know, I like the Broncos because they're very, very tough defensively. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if a strong defense can beat a strong offense. The problem is that the Panthers also have a very good defense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Manning is a five-time MVP. He's won the Super Bowl, and he's got the experience. So it's going to be, I think the story is going to be the old pro quarterback versus the young lion. And I think that's going to be an interesting build-up to the Super Bowl.
Well,
my money, I guess, at this point would be on Carolina.
Yeah.
But I would, I'm going to offend a lot of people, but I would rather see Denver win. I don't know why. I guess I'm just a Manning fan.
Yeah, I like Peyton Manning. I agree. But I, all the experience, from what you were saying, all the experience in the world can't beat, if you're out talented, you're not going to beat them. I tell you what, I was watching the Panthers last night. I kept wondering, how in the world did the Falcons beat them? You know?
Yeah.
The Falcons who have, you know, Cam Newton has more talent in his right hand than the Falcons have.
And, and that was their only defeat,
yeah,
right? They would have had a perfect season other than that,
yeah,
defeat.
How did they do that? He asked.
Well, that's the domino effect, I guess. Somehow.
Well, the
only, sure
only thing I can figure is that the Falcons had lost so badly to the Panthers in their last game that the Panthers came in thinking, you know, all we have to do is show up, the Falcons' tent will fold, and we'll win. And you know, they were just so overconfident that they lost. And that's the only thing I could figure personally that would answer any questions, you know. Just overconfidence beat them. And 'cause the Falcons, I think they wound up winning seven games or winning five games and losing seven or however many they play, but their ratio was not real good. But anyway, it was entertaining, and I think that, unfortunately, I think that the Broncos will not prevail if watching North Carolina was
Yeah, I love the way Carolina gives away a football to the kids after a score.
Yeah, yeah.
I think how appropriate, you know, that's in the kids, man, that's a great photo moment.
Mm-hmm.
When the child receives the football. That is exciting. Can you imagine if you were 8 years old and on the front row and Cam Newton comes up and personally hands you a football? Oh, my goodness. You'd be his fan the rest of your life.
I would be at 69, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you'd remember that.
For another year.
That's a life memory.
Or 2 years, maybe, if I'm lucky. 3 years, unless they put me in a hospice or something. There was one other thing. Did you get that email that I sent you day before yesterday regarding my postal issue?
I did, yeah. You might explain that,
yeah,
a little bit. That's kind of strange.
I have a situation here, and I'm putting this out on the line. If anybody has an idea, a clue, a suggestion, or anything else, I'm open for it. I have generally had postal issues with one post office called Northridge here in Sandy Springs, Georgia. I've had problems with them in the last two offices, the office that I'm in right now. I can't get my mail, and it doesn't matter how the mail is addressed. 100% totally properly addressed, and I had mail returned to a sender, no such address. I've had mail delivered to the office managing people next door to this building. I've had mail delivered to other people in my buildings. I just can't get my mail on a consistent basis. It's been, right now, Dan, it's been, this will be the second week that I haven't received mail. I've done everything. I've gone to the manager of the post office. I've gone to my U.S. representative and asked him to check into it. I have done everything that I know to do. I've talked to the delivery person, the mail person, and then they've told me, well, it's not us. We get our trays issued to us, and then we go out and deliver from the trays that we've gotten, and if your mail's not in that tray, well, it's not my job. And, you know, there's always seems to be a lot of blame to go around. I recently tried to sign up for a thing and put down, instead of my home address, I put down the office address. And on the application, it kept coming back, no such address. Well, you know, I've been here a year and a half, and I know where I am, I think, and this is the address I was given to give out, and sometimes it works, but obviously when a national concern comes back and tells me there's no such address, I realize that I got a real problem, and I'm up for any suggestions, please.
It would be interesting to talk to other tenants there in the building and find out what their experience on mail delivery is.
Well, I have, and it's generally speaking, most of the tenants, with the exception of one other that came in when I did, they say, you know, it's off and on that they'll, you know, they get their mail most of the time, but every now and then a letter will go awry and, you know, something will happen. But, you know, for the most part, they get their mail. I don't even get it for the most part. You know, it's, I don't get it, period. And it's becoming very frustrating. And then to find out that mail is being returned as undeliverable when I've been here a year and a half, we haven't changed suite numbers. We haven't played any games. This is my office, and I just think there's really a problem with our postal system and service, and it's sort of like I'm sort of in a situation you can't beat City Hall, you know.
Well, have you gone to the Postal Service and asked if your address is a legitimate address? Maybe it's not a legitimate address.
Whatever legitimate means. I have gone to the post office and asked them directly, you tell me how you want it to be addressed so I can send it out to the people I do business with. And they've, you know, oh, well, what you're doing is fine. That should more than cover it. That's fine. You know, it's beyond me.
Well, it's kind of funny to me. If you were in a house out in the country down at the end of a dead-end road, at the end of a, you know, 500-foot driveway covered with trees, I could see maybe they would miss your house. But you're in an office building. A very prominent office building. I don't see how they can miss your address. I'm sorry. And they're delivering mail to the people next door, down the hall, upstairs, downstairs, but not to you. I mean, this is odd.
It's crazy. With that note, we got to take a break. Hopefully somebody's listening and will give me a clue. They can email me, david@americaswebradio.com. I would love to hear from
Watchdog. is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Peter Wallace, inviting you to listen every Sunday morning to Day One with inspiring preachers from America's mainline churches on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the infamous, known worldwide, the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. And one subject that we haven't talked about, and I'm just going to turn it over to you, Dan, and hear what you have to say, and then I'll throw my two cents.
Bernie Sanders.
What do you think about Hillary and her email predicament?
No. Yeah, she is in a predicament, isn't she? She has, I think through her career, she goes out on smaller and smaller branches, and she may be on a branch right now that's getting ready to crack and fall off. I think looking at her numbers, I think it's more than just Bernie that's beating her down. I think people are starting to notice that maybe Hillary isn't who they thought Hillary was, and they're a little bit disgusted and disappointed with her, her foundation, her husband, and all of her lies. And we've got 13 Hours, a very, very good movie, which I haven't seen yet, is out. I think that's going to ruffle the feathers of a lot of Hillary haters and Hillary lovers. I'm hoping that some Hillary lovers will go and see what happened to some very good men because she took no action. I think Hillary's probably very concerned. I don't know how she's sleeping at night. She looks like she's not sleeping at night. I think I counted four rings under her eye.
The bags have bags, huh?
Bags have bags, yeah.
Well,
it's going to be interesting. Iowa is next Monday, I believe. I don't know what Iowa means for the Democrats, really, but it looks like Bernie's in control there. But when we get into the southern states, they're forecasting that Hillary's going to come back. So when is the FBI report going to be delivered? Who knows, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
But I think enough is coming out that I think she's very close to being tried in the public, whether she's tried anywhere else or not. And she has a record of lying. She's had a record. She lied when she was on the Watergate Commission. and got fired because she was lying, trying to brought up evidence against Nixon that just wasn't there, and she got fired. The lady is a liar, and that's the only way you can characterize her. And not only is she a liar and a bad liar at that, she's a stupid liar, and she doesn't know when to keep her damn mouth shut. The Benghazi thing is a good example of she would have been much better off just keeping her damn mouth shut than coming up with this cockamamie story about a videotape. And then, on top of it all, I heard one of the victims of Benghazi, one of the sisters of one of the victims, talking about that, that Biden was gracious and given his condolences and was, I don't want to say superficial, but wasn't trying to go into any details, just that, he was very sorry about what had happened. And here comes Hillary, and the lady said, you could almost see as she was walking towards him that she had an agenda, and the agenda was to put out this cockamamie story about a videotape starting a spontaneous riot in Benghazi, and that she was going to get to the bottom of it and find out about this tape. And like the lady said, this was totally unsolicited. The people that were there, they were at the airport when they brought the bodies back from Benghazi, and Hillary makes such a deal out of this. And had she just kept her mouth shut and been gracious and said, we're sorry and we're going to, find out what happened or what, just been a nice person.
Yeah, human.
Yeah.
If she'd just been human.
She wouldn't be in the heap of trouble that she's in now. And I think they're going to come out, because of Benghazi, it exposed her internet, her email address that she had her own server, which, as we have found out, is extremely illegal. And the lives that she has put in jeopardy, the moles, the people on secret missions, the around the world that are trying to protect us, she totally opened the barn door to these folks. And I think all of that's extremely criminal.
I think she illustrates the domino effect, Dave. I mentioned earlier that something like 20 dominoes in succession, each being a 1.5 times bigger than the one before, could take down the Empire State Building. Well, Hillary is kind of an Empire State Building. I mean, she's a big persona, and she carries a lot of weight with her, and, she's been powerful. But all of these dominoes falling now, I think, are going to take her down. And she doesn't really have a great record to stand on. She's tainted by her email philandering. She has a very much of a philandering husband. I think there's a lot of women that don't care for Hillary because she stood by Bill while he was out doing his thing with other women.
You know, I will take controversy. She didn't stand by Bill as her husband. She stood by Bill for politics, in my opinion.
Well, she stood by Bill. Either way, she stood by him. And my wife says that, no woman that she knows would have done that. No decent, upstanding woman would put up with it. Had it been one event, yeah, maybe. But I think you and I both are pretty sure that there was more than one Monica Lewinsky in the mix.
Oh, there were. I think I've related the story when I was in D.C. and got to be friends with some of the D.C. police. That this was when Clinton was in office. That they he thought he was fooling everybody when, in fact, he wasn't fooling anybody. And he would take a White House van. I didn't even know that he had enough sense to be able to drive, but he would take a van and think he was sneaking out of the White House to go to Maryland to meet one of his girlfriends. And the whole time he had a police escort. You know, he just didn't know it. And, if there's one, there's got to be, if there's smoke, there's got to be a lot of fires, you know. And
you bet.
I have no respect for, has nothing to do with his presidency as far as good, bad, or indifferent. But as far as a moral or immoral person, yeah, I have my opinion of what this guy was and what Hillary is. I don't think she's necessarily messing around on Bill, because I don't think anybody is that stupid to mess with her. Maybe another lady, but we won't go there. But you know.
Well, and she's telling the Iowa voters that she's the one Democrat who has experience to make life or death choices that come with the presidency. And she says, you know, a president must be ready for the 3 a.m. phone call. You know, and we know that didn't happen with Benghazi. We know that, you know, that's just another lie that she tells. She didn't want to take a phone call. She didn't, you know, she wasn't ready to manage life or death choices. She wanted somebody else to do it. She is just not the person that she pretends to be.
Well,
and I think she's, you know, I just don't think she's going to last to the election. If she gets the nomination, she may not even get the nomination.
Oh, I don't think she'll get. I don't think she will. I'm telling you, I've predicted it. I will once again predict it on these airways that the next president will be Joe Biden. And
we're hearing that from more and more pundits. I didn't know you were a pundit. I'm not even sure you know what a pundit is.
I'm not even sure I know what a pundit is, but...
Yeah, but you are one.
A soothsayer of sayers of sooth, I don't know, but...
Yeah, you've been saying sooth lately.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just, if you put it down on paper, it all makes sense that Obama's going to, he hates the Clintons. Obama's going to throw up his hands and say, look, there's nothing I can do about it. Hillary was a good Secretary of State, but the FBI has just brought overwhelming evidence that this case has to be tried. And Hillary's going to be charged, and it'll all play out for the best in court. But in the meantime, Brother Joe's going to save the country. I'm going to come out of retirement. I'm going to do what my son ask me on my deathbed, and that's to be your president. And I ask that you just vote for me once, unless you're in Chicago, and then you can vote for me 5 or 10 times.
Yeah.
And I got into an argument today, this morning earlier, that, oh, no, nobody had ever elect Joe. He's too stupid and all. No, they will. The fence sitters and the Democrats will say, well, let's give old Joe deserves it. He's been vice president. He's been around for 800 years, and Joe will take care of us.
Yeah.
And he will take care of us. Right up the gazoo.
Well, you know, and the Hillary supporters are going to have somebody to vote for.
Yep.
And I don't think it's necessarily Bernie Sanders that the majority of the party is going to go for. So I think Joe steps in, and you know he'll just pick it up. He'll pick up the support.
On that note, we got to let people think about it while we take our last break. You're listening to the Dan and Dave Show. We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. We're glad to have you listening in on this beautiful Monday morning. And I think you had something you wanted to tackle, Dan?
I hate to bring this up, really. I just saw a half-page ad in Wall Street Journal for an organization that I have long admired. But which lately I've heard that much of the money that they take in, this is a nonprofit group, much of the money that they take in doesn't go for the purpose that they state. And we're all familiar with the Wounded Warrior Project. And they put out great ads. They're emotional. They're tear-jerking ads. Very well done. And it's a group, like I say, that I've admired. And I hate to say anything that's dark about this group, but in looking at some statistics lately, I'm seeing that only about 50 cents on every dollar passes through to the warrior. And the other 50% goes to administrative costs. And there's a group that's called Charity Watch. They gave Wounded Warrior a C-plus rating in 2013. There's a group called Charity Navigator, which passes through about 97% to their veterans. You know, I think the Wounded Warrior just needs to sit back and reexamine their priorities and, you know, get back in the game. And I think the game is helping the Warriors. Apparently, Wounded Warrior has several executives, C-level executives, making salaries of over $300,000 a year. And, you know, they probably work pretty hard for their money, but it's the warrior that I think they need to benefit. So I needed to get that off my chest. And they've helped 56,000 vets. Okay, so they've done a great job to some degree, but I think maybe they started out doing a better job than they are now, and I would like to encourage them to stop and think about the warrior, make the warrior their highest priority, and get their eyes off of fattening their own administrative pockets.
Well, you know, it's an unfortunate thing to have to say, but there are so many charities like that. The one that comes to mind is you couldn't put a gun to my head for me to give a dime to the Red Cross. When their executive director is making in the millions, flying around in a private jet, looking for a disaster to be appropriate at, You know, I'm sorry. The Red Cross is, they're a scam. They always have been. There are many other charities that, the only one that I support, quite frankly, is the Salvation Army. And, their ratio is less than 10% goes to administration. The rest of it goes to the purpose that they state. And so I, that's the only one I particularly care about. But if you're going to give, and that's the duty of a Christian, that's the duty of a good citizen, is to help others that have not been as fortunate as you, or have, you know, have, whatever the case might be, whether it's man-made or it's a natural disaster or whatever. And we are the most charitable country in the world, and it's to come to your aid, come to the aid of your neighbor. But just be sure that your neighbor is going to get that aid, and it's not going to line some greedy person's pocket, saying that they're helping when in fact they're only helping themselves and not helping the person that needs it. And as far as the Wounded Warriors or charities for warriors, there are some great ones out there that cover everything from physical wounds to mental rehab. That is a big situation today. So, you know,
well,
Dan,
I would like to challenge Wounded Warriors to maybe come onto the program. Would you be open to having a spokesperson from the Wounded Warriors to come on and talk to us about their position?
Absolutely.
I may have misunderstood things that they have some great stories. I mean, they have huge successes. I just want to see them have more huge successes and fewer high paid executives.
No, I would take anybody in a heartbeat that has their side of the opinion of Wounded Warriors. I'd love to have them on. In fact, I have invited Wounded Warriors to be on other shows and have never gotten a response. And I always was intimidated, feeling that we were just not big enough for them. But if somebody's listening and they know someone that's been benefited by the Wounded Warriors, or somebody from Wounded Warriors wants to be on the show, they can contact GM at americaswebradio.com, and we'll be glad to arrange a time that they can be on. I'd love to do it. Absolutely love to do it. Any way that we can support our Wounded Warriors, anybody that's been in the military, we certainly want to do that and stand by them, and hopefully we show that we do care as a station about our veterans. You know, along with this is the show we do, Our Constitution, that's all over the Veterans Administration and their hospitals for the way they've treated our veterans. It's deplorable. It hadn't gotten better just because Obama said it was. We can assure you it is worse than terrible. You wouldn't put up with that kind of service, nor would I, and nor should our veterans have to. And you know, funny thing about it, Dan, is the VA is very discriminatory, and people, this hadn't been brought to light like I would like it to be brought to light, and that is the fact that if you go into the VA hospital and you have any education at all or know how to, quote, unquote, work the system to a degree, if nothing else, you challenge what you're told, okay? You will get the appropriate attention. But if you go in, and some of these guys that go in have PTSD, they have whatever, you know, and they don't know how to challenge what they've just been told, like, come back in 6 months. They don't know how to challenge it. They take it, they leave, and, you know, end of the story. So the VA covers their tail by taking care of the people that know how to challenge them and letting the other folks that don't know how to challenge them go by the wayside. And this is This is terrible. It's worse than terrible.
Well, on the upside, there are a lot of groups that probably are no-name groups. You're not aware of them. I'm not aware of them that are doing great work for our veterans. I was a member of a group about 8 years ago, and I don't think you knew this at the time, but I was a realtor, and I joined a group that was looking for housing for wounded warriors or wounded service people. And, you know, they continue. They're not well known, but they continue their work. They have passionate people that were either married to service people or maybe wounded themselves. They understand their frontline people that, you know, really understand the problem. And another group of people that you may not be aware of that I am are quilters. There's many, many quilters out there that give of their time and energy doing quilts for veterans. And it's just amazing, you know, if you get the opportunity, if you're blessed to find out and meet some of these people, it's a blessing to really see what they're doing. They don't want any fame and recognition. They don't want any payment. They're doing it because they love our country and love our vets.
Well, I think,
good people.
You know, we like I said, we do our Constitution. Michael Conley is the executive director of USJF, United States Justice Foundation, and this is a group of attorneys that represent they'll represent any veteran, no charge to the vet at all. If they've been mistreated, misrepresented, missed anything from the VA or any place else, so if they've been discriminated against, the USJF will check into it, and they will do the case. They've also filed suit against the VA for the treatment of veterans. And again, it's at no charge to anyone. The USJF strictly works off of donations, and they have a number of suits against the VA, and they have represented any number of veterans that have been, for lack of better words, screwed by the VA in some shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
So there are, yeah, you know,
the
there are.
The VA would be a great subject of a future show.
Yeah,
America's Web Radio exposes the VA.
I think they've been exposed. It's just how much they're exposed. At this moment, Dan, we've got to put the plug in the jug for another show. It's we're running out of time quickly. Thanks, as always.
And thank you, Dave. God bless America.
God bless America, absolutely. We'll be back next week on the Dan and Dave Show, right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.